This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. About a decade ago, I wrote a couple of articles for AvWeb highlighting my journey through building and flying my own experimental airplane. It was a personal account, but for the most part, it was drawn from memory. Today, I'm talking with Brent Owens, who is about to join me in completing that journey. And if you've ever wondered what it would be like to finish your own airplane and exactly how you might feel the day before first flight, you're about to find out. Brent plans to fly tomorrow. Brent, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for talking to me, Glenn. That's an exciting day for me.
Before we dig in, let me fill in some background. Brent currently flies for a large fractional operator, and he has been for 14 years. He's flown the Citation 10, the Hawker 1000 and 400. He's flown the Lear 60, the Challenger 400. He now flies the Falcon 2000. All told, Brent has 6,600 hours of total time in about 40 airplanes, ranging from one-off experimentals to business jets. But what matters is that tomorrow he's going to fly a model he's never flown before, the Vans RV8, that he built himself. So, Brent, how do you feel?
Well, I'm excited and nervous all at the same time. It's been a long journey to get here, so it's a little surreal to feel like, it's actually done. All 15,000 rivets are in, and there's nothing left to do but go out and fly it.
How many years has it taken?
4 years and 9 months, but who's counting? Yeah, just short of 5 years to complete it.
That doesn't include the time where you originally thought it up. When did the dream of building and flying your own airplane really galvanize for you, and why did you choose that path?
Well, so I started the airplane, the RV8, in October of 06, but sort of got the bug to build something in the winter, so I'd say January of that year. Started research and decided, I need to build something. I want to build something. I hadn't been active in GA because of, I was flying, I am flying professionally. So I wanted to get back to my roots. And, so I started doing my research and, long story short, I ended up with the RV8, but looked at a lot of various types. I mean, everything from Pete and Paul's to, I looked at the Hatch Classic. I mean, some airplanes are not even really even as category for an RV8, and actually like the 4 better, but the RV8 kit is more modern and a little better for a first time builder. At least I think it is in my opinion, to actually get it complete, because it's match. All the holes are in there for it. It's match hold for you. So I settled on the 8, and I'm extremely happy I did. Very happy.
Now that you're fitting, you've got a finished airplane. You just had the FAA inspector out there. When was it? Within the past few days?
Yeah, just yesterday. So
You've got that little pink certificate in hand, right?
Right.
And why have you chosen to fly yourself as opposed to maybe hiring a professional test pilot, or at least someone who's familiar with the type? I mean, we spoke earlier, and I know you have an RV6 available to you. Why not go fly that thing first? Or for that matter, the RV8, the RV community is huge. I suppose you could have someone fly an RV8 in and take that up.
Well, it's funny. Since we spoke last, I actually did go up in the RV6. The fellow that owns the Jim Baldwin happened by and said, hey, let's go for a ride around the patch. And I thought, you know what? That's probably not a bad idea. So,
there you go.
So it actually worked out real good, and he's got a beautiful flying airplane, and I was happy to take it up with him, so that worked out well. And as far as flying the airplane, the first flight, I really equate this to sort of like my honeymoon with my wife, and I'm not really enticed to let someone else be there for that privilege, so I plan to take her up tomorrow when it's ready.
Well, as that aside, how have you prepared for this flight? I know you mentioned you read the advisory circular from the FAA. What sort of research, what sort of planning has gone into this?
Well, I did read the advisory circular. Van also published as part of the plans an excellent chapter on preparations and first flight, because accident statistics sort of support that, they do support that there's a higher incident rate on first flight. So trying to take all the precautions I can, get as smart as I can about it. A lot of internet research, even watching videos of people's first flight just to try to glean things. But basically the plan is basically to brief all the, I'm going to have some folks out here that are going to act as crew members, both in the ground, and I've got a chase plane that's going to come up and chase me. So brief those folks on all the emergency things, hopefully not have to use it, obviously, but just in case. and brief everybody on what the stand, the profile is going to be, and just try to go out and fly a clean mission.
Aside from the planning, I guess with a mental state, what makes you know that you're ready?
Well, that's a good question. It's one of those kind of things where if I sit around and think about it too much, I think I would probably talk myself into getting nervous about it. I think as long as I'm comfortable with the airplane and how it's performing with the tests I've conducted so far, I'm comfortable with my own currency and piloting skills at this point. So that those two variables are sort of out. So it really just comes kind of down to the weather. And then if something crops up before now in the first flight that is a warning flag, well, I just need to pay attention to that and stop and evaluate what I've got before proceeding forward. So that's really it. I think I just need to go just jump in and do the job. Knowing that I've done this prep work is what carries you through.
What made you decide on tomorrow?
Well, the airplane's ready, so that was kind of the thing, and it's a couple of things. I mean, it's convenient. I've got people available to come out tomorrow, so the schedules, people's busy lives, so that drove some of it. The weather is extremely nice right here now in central Ohio, and that's going to dry up midday tomorrow. So I'm going to try to do the test flight or the first flight tomorrow morning. And if something happens that delays me, then I'm going to be into putting something down on the schedule for a different date.
I think a lot of people don't really directly think about the relationships here. And I guess I mean that through the building process, but now that you're finished, I suppose I should ask directly, does your wife know about it? How is she taking it? How did you present it to her? And who's going to be there for the flight?
Well, she knows about it, and she's supportive. She's nervous about it. I can tell she doesn't openly sort of show it, but I can tell she's a little bit anxious about it. She's probably picking some of that up from me because there's some anxiety. I mean, you don't want to mess up. You don't want the airplane to mess up. There's opportunity here to mess up here. So, so you want to pay attention. You want to be focused. But so she's good. She's probably not going to be here. But my oldest son, 16, he's 16, so he'll be on the ground crew and helping out and taking photos and video and whatnot. And he's involved. My daughters are actually helped me with the airplane. All my kids have helped me with the airplane through the whole build. And they'll probably not be here as well. They'll probably stay home with mom for the first flight. And it's going to be early in the morning, so that's kind of part of his logistics.
Well, you've mentioned a ground crew and your son will be a part of it. Does that give you any pressure? Do you have any qualms about calling it up off if you wake up, for example, with a headache tomorrow?
No, not at all. The folks that I've invited out are all trusted agents. They're all either builders or experienced airmen themselves, and so they understand that it's a big judgment call, and it's my call, and they're not gonna second guess me or think less of me for pulling the plug if something comes up where I need to do that. So, and because of that, I've limited the audience. To where it's just really a handful of people.
So when you said ground crew, what that sort of implies a task. Are they all tasked with things to do for you?
Yeah, I'm gonna brief all the folks that are involved on emergency contact information. Where's the nearest hospital? God forbid we have to do something like that or have to have that service. FAA contact numbers, the airport manager's number. Arm them with a fire extinguisher and a camera and just make them available to help prep the airplane and also see me off and hopefully to a safe return. So that'll be their task. The guys flying Chase, their mission will be a little bit different. The briefing will be a little more detailed, obviously, just talking about, altitudes I'm going to go to, speeds I'm going to fly and what I'm expecting out of them and what they should expect from me. So in terms of air to air work, so sort of two different briefs, sort of two different crews. Try not to make it overly complicated, but I want to try to avail myself to all the tools I got here. And luckily enough, there's a great community of supportive folks right here local with me. So,
well, that description kind of puts us there. Tell me a little bit more about the airport. What are we talking about as far as runway space, width, length, and the field itself, and surrounding areas?
Well, it's a private airport. I don't live here. It is an airport community, but it's paved. It's 25 foot wide, so it's a little narrow. And it has a grass strip next to it, but it's not overly usable. It's got a pretty good grade to it, and there's a fence along one side, so it's a little spooky. But the runway's really smooth. I just landed on just a minute ago, and other than a little bit of a dogleg on final around some trees, it's for the lane to the south. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have a slope or anything to it. It's all flat. So, but no crash fire rescue, which would be optimal. You know, there's nothing like that here. So, but and there's some other airports around. So if I need to divert, I can divert into the big airport over at Columbus, and they've got all the stuff I would need if I wanted to avail myself to that. But nice little airport, nice and quiet, great community of GA folks, and real supportive. And I like being out here. It's been fun.
You have good open spaces around that airport too?
Yeah, to the south is the best, which that's what I expect the winds to be tomorrow. It's pretty much just cornfields out there, and a lot of open highways that I could even maybe use, but lots of fields, pretty flat. To the north, it's a little hillier, but still not a big deal, so pretty good. It's not like the heart of West Virginia or something.
What's your flight plan look like?
Well, I've got a half tank of fuel on it, and the plan is just to take off to the south, keep it in close to the airport, keep the power up until I get to at least 1,000 feet, and I will likely, if everything's looking good temperature wise, I'll likely leave the power just on max power all the way to 3. That's what I'm shooting for, 3,000 AGL. I'll go up there and explore maybe a little bit of slow flight, get the chase plane to calibrate airspeed with me just so I make sure the airspeed's not completely off the mark. Just get a feel for it. Loiter around the airport, like I say, burn 30 minutes. I don't want to be up much more than that in case something happened under the cowl that I wouldn't be happy with. And then I want to recover back into the airport here. So that's the plan.
What about, do you have things on your mind? Like, what if you bounce the landing? Are you already prepared for things like that?
Yeah, the RV-8 likes to wheel land. So I am almost certainly going to make a go around if I bounce big at all, because it's a little difficult to recover a bounce back into another wheel lane. Generally, my experience has been when you bounce a wheeler, you end up doing a 3-point, how you wrap it up, because the airplane didn't have a lot of energy left. So if I bounce, I'm probably just going to put the throttle to her and go make another attempt.
You know, I guess to be specific, do you have in your mind a list of concerns?
Yeah, I'm obviously concerned about the airplane because it's never flown. So you've got a couple things going on there. You know, obviously handling qualities, you know, the rigging, the gear rigging, the brakes, you know, that taxi test of the airplane. But, you know, you really don't know until you get out there and you get everything moving at the speed it's going to be moving at. So that's one concern. Firewall forward, really, I separate out is a totally different concern, and probably more gravity, because there's just a lot more going on that can go wrong. Firewall forward, I got an inverted oil system, so there's lots of oil lines and connections, and all of which are points of opportunities for failure. So you got high pressure fuel lines, just fuel injected, constant speed props, and now you got other more oil lines and more things to break. So the firewall forward stuff is I'll be paying a lot of attention to that, and the handling I'm not overly concerned with. The RVs are really proven airplanes, and like a good friend of mine that flies an RV6 told me a long time ago. He said, with 7,000+ of these out there flying, the experiment's kind of over. And I tend to agree. The airframe, I predict, will be pretty straightforward. My focus will probably be mostly on my firewall forward installation. But luckily, with the modern avionics, I got all kinds of sensors all over this engine. So if things start to go south, I will hopefully know about it soon, so I can make adjustments and do what I need to do. And then, of course, I'm sorry. Of course, I'm always concerned about me. I mean, sort of as the final thing, make sure you I'm mentally prepared for what I'm doing, and I'm up to the task, and I don't let the jitters overwhelm me, so I can focus on the job. So those are the three real concerns, I guess.
Are you flying with a chute?
I wasn't going to, but I'm going to probably not. I'm sorry. I was going to use a chute, but I've actually talked myself out of using a chute for the first flight. mostly because of the ergonomics. I don't want to sort of disrupt where my rudder pedals are because they're ground adjustable and not overly easy to move around. And I like where my seats are sitting, and I would have to pull the seat cushion out to use a chute. And I just want to leave the ergonomics optimal, and I'm going to use the chute for limit testing. So in other words, when I go out and do, you know, VNE dives and, you know, max speed and go out and do max G, and I start exploring the aerobatic capabilities, then I'll wear the chute for that. But for first flight, I'm going to be right here at the airport, so it'd have to be really catastrophic to need it. So I've made the choice to not use it. But I may change my mind before now and tomorrow, you know, so it just all depends. But there'll be a chute available to me tomorrow if I need it.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up with this. How do you feel this experience so far compares with the rest of your experiences in aviation?
It's been great, and it really harkens back to my days when I was younger. I get to fly a lot of experimentals and, you know, a lot of one-off airplanes and you know, single-seaters where you did self-checkouts and such like that. So it kind of it's a little bit of a, I'm in my 40s, so maybe we'll call it midlife crisis. I don't know. But it's been very exciting. I couldn't be prouder of the airplane. I'm really happy I made the decision. And when I look at it in the hangar, I just smile. So it's been a great journey, all 15,000 rivets of it. And I would definitely do it again if I had to do over.
Brent, I wish you the very best judgment and the very best of outcomes. Take good care, and we'll talk to you when you're down.
Sounds good, Glenn. We'll talk to you soon.
We've been speaking with Brent Owens, a man who has, with his own hands, made his dream of flight real, and tomorrow he'll learn exactly what that means. I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.